Blog Talk Radio.
Segment of Art Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. Art Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Good afternoon and welcome to today's edition of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. During this edition of ARC Studies Live, I'll be continuing my series on the Book of Romans, the reality of the Book of Romans. Some call it the Royal Romans Road. The Book of Romans was the first book that I read and, in fact, was the grid that laid the foundation for my understanding of everything else in the Word of God, because it addresses everything from Eden to eternity future, and it puts it all in its proper context. One aspect of the Book of Romans that I think that is not, I don't want to say lost, it's not lost, but it's not emphasized enough, is the Apostle Paul's addressing a primarily Jewish audience concerning what in fact the elect of God is, what in fact their role for God was, and what in fact God's intentions for all of mankind was. In fact, it can be said that this is the first book when he tried to pry them away from what they still can't be pried away from to this very day. What Isaiah spoke of their not being pried away from, they thought everything, and still many of them, and I'm generalizing, but you see it in the Hebrew Roots movement, but primarily in the Messianic movement, where they keep trying to make it about them, and it's not about them. It has never been about them, even their role in God's. That's like saying right now that it's about the church. It is not about the church. The church is the vehicle or the chosen body or the elect body, if you will, that God chooses through whom to carry out the portions of his plan for the reconciliation and redemption of fallen mankind during this dispensation. You know, there's going to be tribulation saints in the next one, and the church will no longer be here in the sense of what we call church. They'll always be called out ones. Israel were called out ones. They were called out from amongst the world, but identified as such, it'll be tribulation saints. You know, and so it's God's plan. It's about learning what God's plan is and not about trying to do your own thing or keeping your focus on what it is that you want to do. All right. Again, this is an in-depth book by book or chapter by chapter, rather, verse by verse exposition of this royal book. What is its message? What does it say about the law, election? Again, everything is covered in here. All right. If you'd like to participate in the on-air discussion today, if you have questions and or comments, you can feel free to give me a call. Area code 646-652-2905. Again, that's area code 646-652-2905 if you'd like to participate in the on-air discussion. If you happen to be listening to this broadcast via my archives, give me a call on my ministry line, 614-388-8838. 614-388-8838. That's easy enough to remember. Again, if you're listening live, 614-652-2905. You can also join me in my chat parking lot. It is always open and available for any of you like to participate. I just have three rules, three short rules for my chat room. If many of you have been out here on Blog Talk Radio, you may find that you go in some chat rooms and it's pure chaos. And in some there's a lot of activity because there are some interactive shows. Anyway, that's what they do for my chat room. It is my intent to maintain order. And so I have three easy rules for my chat room. Number one, as much as possible, the conversation in the chat room should follow along with the subject matter being discussed, so as not to become a distraction to others who may be participating in a chat room. Now, I understand that sometimes conversations dovetail into something else. I also understand that, you know, people are going to be extending courtesies and all the rest of that stuff. And so, you know, I kind of keep an eye on that. That's not a hard and fast rule, but if it becomes a full-blown discussion, that can become a distraction sometime to others who are trying to participate with the subject matter. In that instance, I would ask that you take it to a private whisper between you guys, or, you know, if it's that important, you know, then we can maybe bring it to the main floor. All right. Number two, debate is not a bad word. I think that we should vigorously debate all issues. We should. We should earnestly contend for the faith, as Jude put it in Jude 3. And the faith, anytime you see the definite article in front of the Greek word pistis, or faith, it's speaking of the doctrine or the Bible. It's the faith, not faith for salvation, but the faith, the truths that we have come to hold dearly and recognize as truth from God's word. And those are the things that Jude said we should earnestly struggle for. It's the same thing that Paul said in Ephesians 4 that we should come into the unity of, because we are unified by what we believe. And anyone who wants to unify in spite of what they believe is already going down a road that's outside of the will of God. We have to be unified by what we believe. And so, anyway, debate's not a bad word. And so we can vigorously debate, but no personal attacks. My chat room was a threshing floor where we can vet anything presented. It is not a place where you just make personal attacks. And if you're making personal attacks, then what that says to me, whether it's true or not, that's something the speaker would have to ask themselves, is that they have not studied or they don't know what they're talking about. And so they have to make a personal attack on someone. All right. And so no personal attacks. Number three, because the format of my show is, while it's not a, there are some shows out there that are interactive from the standpoint of they want to be talked, they're talk shows, and that's a valid format. I'm not knocking that, but that's what the format of the show is. My show is an instructional show, but it also encourages engagement. And so if there's anything that you'd like to offer, or that you take issue with, or you just like to give offer another take on, you can feel free to call at any time. Because of that, I don't allow snipers in my chat. Now, what is a sniper? A sniper is an individual who wants to sit in the chat room and robo scroll you. You know, and it becomes more of a distraction. I'm sure you've heard some shows where it sounds like, okay, who is the host talking to? Well, he's responding to someone in the chat room who keeps, you know, typing things, you know, but they don't want to call. Now, what I find, and maybe there are different reasons, but what I find is the reason why people do that is because they don't want to stand on what they believe. And there's no record of it if once the show's over, you close the chat room. A good example of that is I've often said that, and I pull no punches, and he's always welcome here, as anyone is welcome here. Edgemaya, his theology is heretical. He's invited, he can always sit in my chat. Always. He can feel free to call at any time, but I won't allow him to robo-scroll. Patriot Greg is another one who, always welcome, but is not allowed to sit in my chat and robo-scroll. Now, the reason why, the point I was making, that some individuals don't want to call is because if they call, then you get a record of some of the things that they say. And once you get a record, you realize exactly how far out they are. This is Patriot Greg on Reason for the Hope broadcast with Dean Watson.
You are suggesting, and I'm asking a question now, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but you are suggesting that Adam had the ability to walk on water and fly. Is that what you're saying?
I am suggesting it. I have no biblical proof, but I am suggesting it based on the fact that Adam and Eve were created perfect. Were created perfect, sinless. And Jesus Christ, when he was incarnated as a man here on planet Earth, Jesus Christ was able to walk on water. We don't know if Jesus Christ was able to fly, but he was able to go through solid objects.
Okay,
Jesus
now,
Christ, yeah?
this is quintessentially what can occur when you eisegete the scripture rather than exegete the scripture. Let me explain what I'm talking about. A lot of times when we approach the scriptures, instead of approaching it as a blank slate waiting to be written upon, we have preconceived ideas, preconceived thoughts, belief systems, whatever our history, our backgrounds are, and we bring all that with us to the scriptures. And then we try to forge the two to become one. And when you do that, you're actually ending up with another doctrine. And unfortunately, Patriot Greg, everything that you've mentioned is an eisegetical view of the scriptures, not an exegetical view.
Of course, that was Dean Watson speaking to Patriot Greg. I was on that broadcast, but I didn't have to say anything. To Dean's point. Now, Dean's point was approaching scripture as a blank slate. What he was making reference to is that, as Peter said in 2 Peter 1, we have the prophetic word, verse 19, made more sure as a light that shines in the dark place. You see, scripture is the light. You and I are the dark place. And he says here, he warns us, the word heed. That's a key word for warning. He said, we do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and morning star rises in your hearts. And so, you know, we have to allow scripture to speak to us as opposed to us reading what we want in scripture. And so some people don't want to call in because then you start getting a record of the things they say and you recognize, you know, that there is some things to be concerned about. And I can play clips from other people right out here on Blog Talk Radio who are, you know, part of, you know, different groups and well spoken of and making comments like they hold their opinion over the Word of God, you know. And so we just got to be careful about stuff like that. Some people don't want to call in because they don't want that type of stuff. They know they leave a record. There's a record of everything that I teach. I've been on Blog Talk Radio since February of 2007, and I invite anyone to examine the history of anything that I've taught. In fact, that is another rule of my broadcast, is that it is your job. In fact, let me read something to you that a dear sister put out on Facebook just a little while ago. Warning, please do not believe everything others tell you about God. Doesn't matter who they are or what title they hold. Know him and how he operates for yourself, or you will be messed up and confused. And I wholeheartedly agree with this sister. She's a dear, dear friend of mine by the grace of God. And that's what's absolutely true. And so you don't want to trust anyone. You don't want to trust my word. What you want to do is as the Bereans did. You listen to people. You please have pencil and paper. Don't just trust your memory. Go to the Word of God daily and see whether or not I know what I'm talking about. All right. I said enough by way of a bunch of other things. I was going to try to squeeze one question in, but I'm not now. What I want to do now is take a brief musical interlude. And when we come back, we're going to jump right in to Romans chapter 3. Back in a moment.
We just want to have a little worship over here before we go on with the program. Come on, family, sing it with me. Oh.
Oh, 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 oh. See if you are in.
Oh.
Oh, 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 oh.
Father.
See if you are in.
Come on, Daniel.
Let me touch you and see if you are real. Even though I know my other hand can heal.
But sometimes
I get discouraged and I need to strengthen you. Jesus, let me touch you, see if you are real. Sometimes to me you seem so far away. And I wonder how to make it through the day.
But if I could just tell him that.
But if I can touch the hem of your garment,
your power,
power, I know you can. Jesus, let me touch you and see if you are real.
When I'm down there.
Amen and amen. Love that song and the analogy that it draws on, because there are times when we go through challenges in our lives. You know, I'm privileged by some that I know here on Blog Talk Radio, and others that I've known in life to share confidence concerning some issues that individuals go through. And I'm always encouraged. I have one dear brother who is really being challenged now. And what I love about the brother is that, you know, while he is looking to me for counsel, every time I talk to him, I'm encouraged by him. I just thank God. I'm just privileged to know people. You know, it's good to know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It's good to know about the things that individuals did, but it's good to know some Shadrachs, some Meshach, and Abednegos in your life. Not individuals who stand up and just talk about what they did, but who you know the challenges that they're going through, and it doesn't shake their faith, not in the slightest. All right. All right, so I hope you have your Bibles and pencil and paper at the ready as we go into the book of Romans, the book of Romans. All right, we're going to start at, let's see, what we're going to do is I'm actually going to go back to verse 17 of chapter 2. Understand that what we know as the books of the Bible are, in fact, letters that were written to the church. And so while the publisher may have broken off at a particular point, and I have no disagreement, it breaks it up, it makes things easier to read. It's important that as you're reading through chapters that you understand the context as you're moving through a particular book. So sometimes you have to go back and read a little bit of a previous chapter in order to gain some insight and understanding as to what's being talked about in a later chapter. And in this case, as we talk about Romans chapter, we talk about Romans chapter 3, we got to go back into Romans chapter 2, because the Apostle Paul shifted a bit in Romans chapter 2, and he laid a theme, or he embarked on a theme that he'll continue on as he makes the point that he is attempting to make. And oftentimes it's lost because we don't see the target audience that he's intending. Now, granted, it is true that all of it is written for our understanding and our edification by extension, but it's targeted at a particular thing that we don't want to lose. Too often, bad doctrine comes from someone looking at something in Scripture and then trying to pull it out of its context. Probably the best example is Malachi 3. When you look at the windows of heaven, and I've heard that it's in songs now, you know, open the store, rain down on me, Paul Morton. You know, we've just made that money, and, you know, it just totally pulled it out of the context that's there. That speaks to a specific historical context. The Bible is not a voodoo book where we just, you know, pull the pieces into whatever context we want. I often tell people that without context, open the floodgates of heaven is the title. Thank you. Put that in the chat room. I often say that without context, you can't know what you're talking about. Without context, if I tell you there's writing on the trunk, you have no idea whether I'm talking about the front of an elephant, the back of a car, the middle of a man, the bottom of a tree, or a suitcase. You have no idea. You know, and as ridiculous as that sounds, it's ridiculously true. All right, and the same thing is true for the Word of God. And so we have to look at things in their context. In the context of Romans, what the Apostle Paul has done at this particular point is that he has shifted in chapter 2 towards, bear with me one second, I'm trying to figure out why my biblical program is acting the way it did, the way it is. But the Apostle Paul, okay, there it is. The Apostle Paul has shifted attention, having begun at all creation and the plight of all men being outside of the will of God, and God reaching in order to show men, to provide men that light from which salvation comes. And what the Apostle Paul, yeah, this is something entirely new. All right, it looks like the biblical program that I'm using shifted me into a beta mode. And while disconcerting, it looks like it's functional, so I'm going to roll with it. I may just use the one on my computer. All right. So at any rate, so what the Apostle Paul did in the second chapter was, after generalizing and speaking about how God has shown himself to all of mankind in his creation, we talked about how creation speaks language to us. We talked about how that the creation provides us light, what is called the light of creation, the doctrine of progressive light. If the light of creation naturally dovetails into the light of conscience. And as we respond to the light of creation, the light of conscience is then developed. And as we respond to the light of conscience, it ultimately leads to the light of Christ. We talked about how the first two are what are called general revelation, creation, divine providence. And what I mean by divine providence is that nothing happens by accident. The example I used was the Ethiopian eunuch who believed himself to just be heading back to Ethiopia from Jerusalem, reading in a chariot, trying to understand Isaiah. And he just happened to come upon this guy who knew the answers. But we're privy in that chapter of Acts chapter 8 to see that that did not happen by happenstance. In fact, the Holy Spirit specifically sent Philip to that spot for that encounter. Now, let me stop here for a moment and let me point out something. I had a conversation with a dear brother today, you know, not today, this week. And I'm gonna tell you what gave me pause about the conversation and what encouraged me. What encouraged me is that the brother began to look beyond the cross. Now, before you fall out, hold on, I'll come back to that. That the brother is looking beyond the cross. The second thing, or the thing that gave me pause, is that in an era where we're so into teaching emotionalism, when someone looks at the Word of God and comes to the realization that this brother came to, we want to beat him back to the cross. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. I know that the cross to you and I, we make songs about it. It is the be-all, end-all. It is how we were born again. Now, notice, past tense, we were born again, and it is what we proclaim to others, for others to be born again. But God, beyond the cross, there's a process called progressive sanctification that, because you came by the way of the cross, you need to learn to walk forward into service. In fact, I did a whole series on this. If you go back and look at my archives, I did From Schoolmaster to Savior, and then I went on through the Savior to service. We spend all of our time trying to stay in the emotionalism of the cross. And please, especially on this weekend, it represents the crucifixion, or where the crucifixion of Christ is represented, at least generally. I am emotional about what I understand about that. But I recognize that my service to God is on this side of the cross, and I must learn to go forward in the ministry of reconciliation in order to draw others. And the only way that I can do that is to learn how to carry my vessel in sanctification and in honor. I must go through the process of what is identified as progressive sanctification. You see, because the cross represents positional sanctification. Long-time listeners know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't, shoot me an email, ryoung@arcstudies.org, and I'll send you the worksheet on this and go back and listen to the broadcast and vet it yourself. There are things that we must learn. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give an answer to every man who asks. Peter tells us in 3:15. Too often, what we want to do is our goal is just to try to bring people to an emotional state because we believe that that's going to lead them to salvation. That is the same problem that Israel had. They stopped listening to what God was teaching them and instead started going along their own path. All right? Now, I'm going to look at the cross, or my position of the cross is the same as Scripture's. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12, how it defines the cross in relation to Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 12, he says this. I'll read from verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And so Christ's focus wasn't the cross. It was the joy set before him, and he put up or endured the cross to get to that joy. What was the joy? Reconciliation of you and I into relationship with the Father. The cross was just a means to that end. But too often, we want to stay in that emotional bubble. Instead of moving forward and training and preparing ourselves to look for the joy set before us as we carry our cross. That's why he said, you take up your cross and follow him. You have to learn to sacrifice yourself in reaching others beyond you. You see, but too often, what we focus on is baby Christianity. It's all about ourselves. Not the sacrifice of ourselves, but give me, I want to feel a particular way. I need to be blessed. I need this. I need that. That is, look at a natural baby. Imagine if your child was 18 years old and was still waiting for you to change his diaper. His birth was a wondrous thing that you could take nothing from. But if he failed to grow from birth, then we have not been successful as parents. In the book of Hebrews, and I know I'm stepping off just slightly, but I just thank God for the fact that this brother just hammered it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 5, I'll start at verse 11. Hebrews 5, starting at verse 11. Actually, I kind of like this beta version better. I'm just realizing how it operates here. All right, he says this, verse 12. He said, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You should have gone beyond that and grown up. But instead, we got to go back and do baby stuff with you. You come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only in milk, listen to this, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a baby. Solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is those who by reason of use, and the Greek word use is haxis, by reason of putting it to practice, your senses have been exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of putting it to practice, not just spending your time on the milk of the word, but learning to grow. But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. Bear with me 1 second. He doesn't stop there. He goes on. Remember, this is a letter. In chapter 6, verse 1, therefore leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let's go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and faith toward God. That's your conversion. That's gonna go back and keep trying to relive that. Repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Let's not go back and look at and focus on baptisms. Let's not go back and concern ourselves with the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Now, what's interesting is he's saying these things are elementary principles. These are the very things that he, in the previous chapter, says we have to go back to these babies and keep talking about this. But you and I, who have grown and are continuing to grow to maturity, recognize that we've come to faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize the purpose of baptism and laying on of hands. We know that coming into new life, that in fact we will be resurrected when he comes back for us. So therefore, we want to prepare ourselves so we're about his business here. Not because we want him to come back and he's going to, you know, well, some of us, John speaks. All right. Anyway, I lost the feed. I'm back. So at any rate, I kind of went off on a tangent, but I'm just encouraged talking to the brother because, I'm always encouraged when I see brothers just standing up and turning their back towards what. All right, back again. Seems like this time of year when the weather shifts a little bit, that there are challenges. Those of you last year who listened, remember how horrible it got in the afternoons. So at any rate, anyway, let's move on. Let's get back to the book of Romans. That's what most wanted to hear. Let's get back to, but it's all the same thing. You see, because Israel did the exact same thing. They did the exact Paul said in the book of Romans concerning them. He said this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They're doing, they were not paying attention to God. Anyway, back to the point here in the book of Romans, chapter 3. Paul does here, let's start to. All right, I'm back. Again, just a challenge. We had the same challenge as last year, and I have to get somebody out here to take a look at it. But what I'll do is, if you're listening, or if you want to listen to this podcast, the archives with the blank spots. Also, the same thing. All right, back again. Again, as I come back on the archives with this, I will download it. All right. Yeah, it is a. It appears to be a combination of BTR and maybe Skype. I'm not sure. All right. At any rate, hopefully I won't. That is disconcerting to go down like that. All right. I tell you what. Let's see. Where did I leave off at? All right. In the second chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul made a shift. He shifted to Israel. He shifted from the light of creation, which is general revelation, which is creation speaking language, as Psalm 19 and Psalm 8 says, speaking language to us that causes us to contemplate, then who is God? And what is man that you're mindful of him? Who is this particular God? And then that naturally or logically dovetails or brings us to a position of being prepared for the light of Christ, which comes by special revelation. What I mean by special revelation is it only comes from or through the preached word. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear lest a preacher be sent?" All right? And so that special revelation, we can only come to a point of salvation or understanding the particulars of salvation through special revelation. General revelation only shows us that a God exists. The light of conscience divine providence, you know, brings us into contact with people as we contemplate, you know, what these things mean and what is our role within these things. But it requires the preached word of specific individual to come to a point of salvation. This is why the emphasis is on us in the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5:20, as though God were pleading through us to others. Be reconciled. As though God is pleading through we who have been reconciled to others who have not been, be ye reconciled. This is why the injunction to study to show yourself as one approved of God in 2 Timothy 2:15.